This is Jay Sekulow, an attempted terror attack in New York City. The issue, how do you treat the terrorist?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The preliminary information from police sources, it is a man in his middle 20s probably, possibly from Bangladesh, been in the country about 7 years, who supposedly was setting the device off in the name of ISIS. So definitely a terrorist attack, definitely intended.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The last thing I want this guy to hear is you have a right to remain silent. He should be held as a suspected enemy combatant. We should take several days here to figure out who he is and not read him his Miranda rights. Prosecuting him is not going to be difficult. I want to hold him under the law of war and gather intelligence.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, we've got an attack in New York City. You saw it this morning, a Bangladeshi national living in Brooklyn detonated a low-tech device, is what it's being called, in what New York City Mayor de Blasio called an attempted terrorist attack. I think it's fair to say that it was a terrorist attack. The attempt part is the fact that it detonated early, thus limited the casualties. Three people were injured. The terrorist himself has been taken to Bellevue Hospital in New York. Now, let me say this. You heard this in the opening. I want to address this right in the front here. This is a meme that's been published by ISIS. And they have been saying for about a month, we met at Christmas in New York soon. And the English wasn't so great, but that's what they put up. And that's been out for about two weeks. So this is not, in that sense, New York's always under alert. But as Jordan pointed out, Bangladesh has been a problem and a problem of concern for over 2 years.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So this is something you found this morning.
That's right. It's not the most common place that you would hear that these terrorists inside either our country or even overseas would originate from, or their nationality. But if you go back actually to 2016, the summer of 2016, back in June, CNN had published an article about, and the headline is Bangladesh the next ISIS hotspot? It's one of the top five largest Islamic countries in the world. So you've got a big Islamic population. It had been fairly moderate, but it had all the kind of breeding ground elements, a bad economy, it was growing, but then you had the struggling lower classes, the slum class, so where a group like ISIS could recruit from. This individual, though, spent 7 years in the United States, so he wasn't from that group. He was living in Brooklyn, having the American experience. So not someone that was picked out of necessarily the worst environment of Bangladesh, but someone who obviously was Islamic from the beginning of their life, but had become radicalized. We don't know yet when, become radicalized, because he said he did this for ISIS.
ISIS, yeah. He clearly pledged his allegiance here to ISIS. His name is Akied Ullah. He's 27 years old. The word attempt is being thrown around. This is what Mayor de Blasio called it. Now, the truth is, it was a terror attack. The attempt was to cause more damage than it actually caused. But this tells you something. This terrorist was willing to blow himself up. A suicide terrorist, that's what he was, a suicide bomber, was willing to blow himself up in one of the major transit hubs in the United States, just steps from Times Square. So this was an attempted suicide bomber in Times Square. He did not kill himself. The device obviously either misfired, or we don't know the exact nature and scope of what happened here. But we do know this. He claimed allegiance to ISIS. It said it was ISIS-inspired. Again, whether it's ISIS-led or ISIS-inspired makes no difference. I showed you, again, that meme that ISIS has out about New York. But here's the question I'm going to go into the break about. Should this guy be told, you have the right to remain silent? Or should we treat him, as I view it, as an enemy combatant? And get the intelligent information. No reading Miranda rights. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We are 11 days into our December matching challenge. Your support for the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org. And any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Again, aclj.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we have a terror attack in New York. Akhiyad Ullah, 27 years old, Bangladeshi, was in the United States as a lawful resident alien. And now the question is, he tried to blow himself up and people around him. He was not successful in that. He injured himself. But the question is now, do you give this guy Miranda warnings? In other words, do you treat it as a criminal prosecution? Or rather, do you go after it as what I think it should be, as an intelligence gathering, because he is exactly that, at what's called now an alien, unprivileged, enemy, belligerent, subject to military commissions, subject to not being read the Miranda rights. I've got our senior counsel, Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney in here. U.S. attorneys are used to Miranda rights and warnings being given, understanding how that works. How do you let's play the sound from Senator Lindsey Graham first, and I'll get Andy to comment.
Under the law of the war, when you capture an enemy prisoner, somebody who's the soldier of the caliphate, you can hold them for intelligence gathering purposes. The last thing a terrorist needs to hear is you have a right to remain silent and a right to a lawyer. Under the law of war, you don't get lawyers. You get held in military custody and interrogated. And we didn't do that with the truck guy. And you'll never convince me the best way to gather intelligence is to read somebody their Miranda rights and put them in federal court.
Andy?
I agree totally with Senator Graham. He is absolutely right. This man is an unprivileged enemy belligerent, an unprivileged enemy combatant. That means to say that he is a person who is engaged in terrorist activities against the United States in an unlawful conflict that we have declared war against ISIS, and he is not subject, in my opinion, to being given any rights under the Miranda decision or the right to have an attorney or the right to remain silent. We are there to examine him and to gain information with him with respect to his terrorist sympathies, with what he did and how he did it and how he assembled all the implements that he put together, and not there to give him a trial as we would, a speedy trial and other things that we would to a person accused of murder under the Constitution of the United States who's a citizen of the U.S.
All right, so 10 U.S.C. 948-7 defines unprivileged enemy belligerent as any individual who has engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, has purposely and materially supported hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, or was a part of al-Qaeda at the time of the alleged offense under this chapter. So remember, this was adopted in 2009 when the focus was al-Qaeda.
Right.
Now it's ISIS, but has engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, has purposely materially supported hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. Jordan, there is no doubt that what this – you understand this was a suicide bomber. I mean, that's what this guy was, a suicide bomber. And if he was successful at it, he could have it could have caused serious, serious casualties in New York.
That's right. As reports keep coming out, there was reportedly another pipe bomb attached to him. This may not have even been the target where it actually went off. Mm. So he had more explosives on him. He has also told the law enforcement officials, you know, he did this in the name of ISIS. He did this in revenge for what he said was bombing of his country. Now, what people can't figure out is there's no bombing of Bangladesh. Bangladesh is actually a military ally of the United States. It is predominantly Muslim, but is not has had radical Islam, but they've tried to even deny the presence of ISIS in their country. Obviously, this kind of reiterates that any kind of radical attacks there could likely be tied to the Islamic State. But also that in light of it could even be related to what's happened. Bangladesh had some of the largest protests against the Jerusalem decision.
Yep.
But he didn't reference that. What he referenced was specifically bombings in his home country, bombings which no one is quite sure what he is referring to. But we know how ISIS, they take conspiracies and then they spread them into individuals like this, recruiting them online. We're getting a lot of info on this individual within just, think about it, from a lot of these events, within just hours. Right, I think by the end of this show, we'll even know more.
Yeah, so Andy, the difference between someone being read the Miranda rights and the criminal justice system versus the military commissions is very significant, especially as it comes to the issue of intelligence gathering. If someone has the right to remain silent, guess what they get to do? Remain silent.
That's right, which is what we would do if someone were accused of, say, a garden variety aggravated assault or murder in the United States. We would, the law enforcement would arrest them. They would say that you have the right to remain silent. You have the right not to incriminate yourself. If you can't afford a lawyer, one will be appointed, and you can stop the questioning at any time you want to if you want a lawyer. Those are the standard Miranda warnings that we've been given since 1961 in the United States under that decision. But that is not what this person is entitled to. This is an enemy belligerent, a combatant against the United States. He is not subject to speedy trial within a reasonable time in federal court.
Not entitled to a lawyer.
He's not entitled to counsel. He's not entitled to a lawyer. And he's not entitled to remain silent. He is entitled to be interrogated intensely. He is not entitled to be tortured, because that is strictly forbidden under the international commitments of the United States.
And another point our producer Will, depending on what he's referring to as his country, and if he's considering himself an ISIS soldier, the bombing could be the bombing in Syria. It could be bombing in Iraq. It could be bombing a host of ISIS targets. It could be that so this is coming out through someone who had an explosive go off on them. So being fairly clear to law enforcement officials, but the fact that some of it is not making immediate clarity when you start thinking about bigger picture.
Yeah.
But again, it's because we are already getting to that struggle of people trying to play down his actual connection to ISIS.
Yeah,
and I think that is way too early, because we don't know the communication level he's had. He may not have a large network, but we know that he was doing this for ISIS, and that ISIS has said
to do this. We know this. I mean, this is what ISIS put out. I mean, we meet at Christmas in New York soon. This was up. ISIS had this up on sites and social media sites as recently as, I guess, today. I mean, this has been up for, they found it about 2 weeks ago. So this was, they wanted to do something in New York. They continue to want to do something in New York, as they did in Christmas in Berlin. I mean, remember, don't forget, they are always looking for targets with symbolism.
That's
and
right.
Now you're at Christmas in Manhattan.
Jay, remember the last time we had this discussion during the Berlin Christmas market and the Christmas markets in Europe generally, which are a big thing. I've just come back from London, and there were Christmas markets all over the United Kingdom in small cities. We went to the one in Chatsworth near Chesterfield in the north of England. What a perfect time in the symbolism and the mentality of ISIS to attack Christians is when they're out celebrating the holy season of Advent.
Yep, exactly. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you this also. Larry on Facebook says, was this guy here illegally? Nope, he was here legally. He was a lawful resident alien. Ellis on Facebook says, have courts addressed the Miranda rights for enemy combatant issues? Answer is yes. You don't have to give them Miranda rights if they're enemy combatants. Joyce on Facebook said, if they aren't citizens, we shouldn't give them the rights of citizens. That is the position of the American Center for Law and Justice. We have argued that and asserted that at the Supreme Court of the United States and in other courts and have been successful. So we have that has been our position that we've been advocating and we continue to advocate. Let's go ahead and take a phone call at 1-800-684-3110.
Yep.
Go ahead, Jordan. Who do you want to take?
Yeah, let's go to Jack calling in from Texas on line 5. Jack, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Good. How are you?
Good, sir.
I don't know why we're even talking about this thing. There is no question about the fact that he has no rights here when he does something like this, trying to kill us. I don't understand that.
You don't know why we're talking about it? Because I suspect, I don't know this, but I suspect, Andy, he was read his rights.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if some New York detective or FBI agent, whoever, probably gave him his rights, not, you know, thinking that it's better to err on the side of caution and tell him that he has the right to do this and the right not to do that. I would suspect that that was probably the case. It didn't need to be.
Yeah.
We got a call coming in, actually. I think we should take it now if we can. Person's just about a block away in New York City. Nancy calling in from New York on line 6. Hey, Nancy, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Nancy, what's the situation like right now where you are?
I'm inside my apartment, but there are still cops. 8th Avenue is still blocked off.
Yep.
But basically, I just wanted to say thank you for taking my call, and he should be treated as an enemy combatant. No Miranda rights or any other citizen rights. And, I mean, all these police, firefighters, and, you know, all these people, there's just too many people. He needs to be treated as an enemy combatant.
Look, if you look at the definition of enemy combatant, it is an individual who has engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. And, I mean, stop it right there. He did. So, Nancy, that's exactly the position we're advocating. All right, we're taking a break. We come back. We're going to take more of your calls. Our phone lines are open for you. Hey, if you're in New York, give us a call, too, but we want to hear from the whole country on this. How do you think this individual should be treated? I say treated. Is he an enemy combatant or should he be read his right to remain silent? We want your comments on this at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Our call, our phone lines are open for you. We'll take those calls on this. Again, more information coming available. We're going to keep you updated. We've got a lot more ahead. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign here at the ACLJ. We're on December 11th. Which means we are 11 days into our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. I encourage you to make that call as soon as you can. ACLJ.org is the best way to do it online. We'll be back with more, including your calls and comments, at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, so here's what we got. A Bangladeshi national, 27 years old, Akiyad Ula, set off what New York authorities are calling a low-tech explosive device in a subway passageway just before 7:30 a.m. today. This has raised the issue of, is this a terrorist? Yes, because I gave you the definition, the legal definition of what is an enemy belligerent. And an enemy belligerent is someone that is engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, has purposely and materially supported hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. He already said it was ISIS-based. He said it was ISIS-based. And the question is, now is he going to be treated in the criminal justice system, which is what the Obama administration was moving all of these to. The previous administration was moving all of these within the criminal justice system. And true, you could get a conviction, but what you don't get is actionable intelligence, right? I mean, right. That's the problem, Andy.
You don't get the information that you would if you were to treat them as an enemy combatant or a non-privileged belligerent and interrogate them as we should have interrogated them, because under the law, he wouldn't be, the Obama administration was not treating them in that fashion, and therefore they were not extracting the information from them that they could have otherwise extracted if they had examined them and interrogated them as hostile people.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call, Jordan. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're also taking your comments via Facebook and Periscope, so we encourage you to get those in.
Yeah, let's go to Jay calling in from Nevada Online 1, because I think it's an interesting question about the idea that gets to the kind of the heart of what we're the legal issue that we're discussing now. Jay, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, what I was saying is that if you're a first responder and you're the first one on the scene, you're going to read the Miranda rights, because you don't want to give the guy any kind of a loophole. You don't know where he's from or where he's coming from, if he's a citizen or anything. You're just going to show up on the scene and you're going to read him his rights. So I don't think just reading the guy his rights was the wrong thing to do. I think that's just the natural
so
thing to do.
So you raise a really good question, a really important question. That is, when do you have to Mirandize someone if you're putting him in the criminal justice system? By the way, it doesn't have to be immediate. I mean, you don't have to do it instantaneously. I mean, then if you decide to go that route, all that means is the evidence you obtained within the criminal justice system would not be admissible in court. So, again, you raise a very valid point. And we're not criticizing the first responders. No. The key here is not just should he be read as Miranda rights. Even if you read your Miranda rights, you could still revoke that and say, we're going to put this in the criminal out of the criminal justice system and treat him as an enemy combatant, which is what he is. Let me play what Senator Graham had to say about that. He was asked a good question by Sandra Smith on Fox News.
Why would he not be treated as an enemy combatant?
I can't think of a reason why he would. Clearly, he's not trying to rob anybody. He was trying to commit an act of terrorism. He should be held as a suspected enemy combatant and interrogated under the law of war. He's apparently a soldier of the caliphate, and I'm urging the Trump administration to reject the law enforcement model and reject Obama's policies of turning the war into a crime.
This is a fundamental differential in approach. So under the Obama administration, these individuals were tried within the criminal justice system, and it was being litigated during the Bush administration, whether you had to or you did not have to, and ended up you did not have to if they were enemy combatant. But this is a policy decision, and I can't imagine that the president's administration is going to let this guy be treated within the criminal justice system. It makes no sense to me that it would be.
No, unless, again, you've seen people jump on this so quickly at the state level and even federal official level. I mean, we know, we're not getting into it today, but the problems within the Department of Justice, even at the very tip top, an assistant deputy attorney general has been demoted because of their involvement in their wrong, if not illegal, involvement in the election of 2016. And so if those are the kind of people making the calls, and it's not directly the political appointees, or the political appointees have not gotten, I mean, we're just a year in here, that they have not gotten new training manuals out or new manuals of operations out, that I think that you may see it, the old way, because that's what it takes. It takes new manuals, new training.
But Andy, let's go through, I think it's important for our audience, the fundamental differential in the way it would be handled within the criminal justice system as compared to an enemy combatant.
Okay, if this were a case of aggravated assault, or say this was a case of voluntary manslaughter, or a case of murder, what we would do would be the person would be taken in custody. And what triggers Miranda is custodial interrogation. If you are free to go, if you are not in custody, if you do not, a reasonable person would not have the feeling that, or the view that he was in, or she was in custody, you don't have to give Miranda. But if it's custodial interrogation, you have to say you have a right to counsel, you have a right to stop the questioning anytime you want an attorney, and if you can't have an attorney because you can't afford them, will appoint an attorney for you. Those are the standard yep. Miranda rights that you give to them. But that is not what an enemy combatant is entitled to.
Right.
They cannot confront the evidence and witnesses against them. They cannot remain silent, subject to the interrogation, and they may be detained for the duration of the conflict.
Which is intergenerational in all reality. Let's try to grab another call here before the break.
Sure. Chris is calling in from New York on line 6. Chris, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
I think Chris is in Nevada. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the air.
Is enemy combatant status based upon somebody's citizenship in the country or the activity they engaged in?
So an enemy combatant is defined as an individual who has engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. But the individual is generally deemed to be only an alien enemy belligerent or subject to military commission. So if you're a U.S. citizen, you're not subject to that. And that's just based on the Constitution and Supreme Court decisions that have come down on that. So he's here under a green card, a lawful status. But because he has lawful status, it doesn't mean he's a citizen. So he's not entitled to the same rights as a U.S. citizen would be. So it's important to point that out. Only aliens, only people that are aliens, that means you're not a citizen of the United States, are subject to being enemy belligerents that are subject then to a military commission. All right, we'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. But look, this is a big issue here, and I'm getting into this. Fortunately, there was not mass casualties here. Now, there were no one's died, and that's good. But this terror attack in New York, and that's what it was this guy was willing to blow himself up in the New York subway system. And again, I want to point out for those that are just joining us, ISIS, if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope or any of our other social media platforms or television platforms, we meet at Christmas in New York soon. This was a meme they had up on terrorist sites. So this is, again, in New York, as Jordan said, has been subject to, unfortunately, multiple attempts and terrorist attacks. We know that. So this is something where we're not, by the way, this is not aimed at the police, whether they should have, what they should have done differently. This is, how are we going to treat this? How are we going to move this forward? And that's really what we're talking about. That's really what we're dealing with. All right, we're taking your calls again, as I said, at 1-800-684-3110. But Jordan, let people know we're in a matching challenge campaign. Very important time. This is our biggest month of the year financially for the ACLJ.
Yeah, and it's a time when we're preparing also for the new year as well, and putting together the budgets, putting together the resources, and what is what we're able to do, again, not just for this month, but going forward, preparing for the new year. So if you could support the American Center for Law and Justice right now, it is a great time to do so, because your gift will be doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. You can donate online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see the matching challenge button. You click that. Again, it just takes a couple of minutes, a very secure way to support the work of the ACLJ. That's ACLJ.org. Our second half hour is coming up. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
what we've got. We've got a terrorist, Akid Ullah, 27, trying to blow himself up and blow others up as well. He injured himself and three other people. No one was killed. This was in New York City at 7:30 this morning. He has pledged his allegiance to ISIS. The question is, how is he going to be treated? Under the previous administration, he was treated as these were treated and prosecuted as crimes. And while you could get convictions, you didn't get the intelligence gathering. And that we made it to the position, the ACLJ's position, since the war on terror began, has been these individuals should be treated as enemy combatants. And an alien is the only one that can be treated as an enemy combatant. And an enemy combatant is defined as a person, an individual who is engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, has purposely and materially supported hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, which is exactly what's happened here. And what that means is it's not handled within the criminal justice system. And instead, you can then garner intelligence. Who else was this individual speaking to? You don't have the right to remain silent. You don't have the right to a lawyer. You don't have the right to a speedy trial. We have the ability to get information out on you. That's the fundamental difference, Andy, that we're talking about here.
That's exactly correct. We don't want to give to an unlawful enemy belligerent the rights of an American citizen who has just been accused of a crime against the United States or of a state of the United States. We want to be able to interrogate these people, to get information from them, to find out where they're from, what their sympathies were, who they were associating with, who they contacted, who how they put their bomb together, where they did, who knew about it, all the questions that you, if you were an FBI agent or any other kind of detective, would be asking them, things that you cannot do if they invoke their rights under Miranda v. Arizona to shut their mouth, not to say anything.
Right. Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call here at 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who do we have?
Yeah, let's go to Reed in Iowa on line 3. Reed, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Reed.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. Paraphrasing the law, and you said that the combatant can be held until the end of the conflict.
Yep.
So does that mean that Congress has to declare war, or how does that work?
No, I mean, you don't have to have a declaration of war. The president as commander-in-chief can take action militarily. There have been declarations of war on this. I mean, this is not a situation where there hasn't been. But the duration of the conflict is until the conflict's resolved. And right now, basically what you've got is an attempt by ISIS, because they're floundering in Syria and Iraq. And so they're going to keep activating these cell groups. So look, they've done it in Europe. They've done it in the United States. And they're trying to create terror. And it's a war on, as President Bush said years ago, it's a war on terror. And what the difference here is, under President Obama's administration, he handled these matters and had the Justice Department handle these matters as criminal cases rather than holding them as enemy combatants so we could get the intelligence gathering. And look, we have got, you got to find out who this guy was talking to. You can't just let this go. Now, do we know any more developments, Jordan?
Not yet on the individual, but I would say, too, there's an authorization of use of military force.
Yep.
Already in existence. It's been in existence for a long time, and it's been interpreted to include the war against ISIS. So you don't need something new. The Obama administration agreed with that position, and the Bush administration. It goes back to the beginning with the war against terrorism, if you like that terminology or not. That's where it goes to, and that authorization of use of military force came from Congress. So they have authorized the military action here, which is you don't get a lot of declarations of war,
yep.
But you see the AUMFs, as they are called, and that gives you that same ability to act.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Andy, let me ask you this question. If, in fact, they were given Miranda rights, which the police officers may have done on the scene, that doesn't bind you to treat it that way.
No, it doesn't. I mean, if you gratuitously give them a right that they're not entitled to, that doesn't mean that we can't subsequently use what they said against them if, in fact, it is determined that they weren't entitled to that in the first place.
So that's a very important point to underline here. If the police did it as a matter of practice, that doesn't mean the administration, the Department of Justice, is bound to treat the individual within the criminal justice system. They could still be treated as an enemy combatant. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. December 11th, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. December's our biggest month of the year. We have a matching challenge going on. What that means, any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $40, we get $80. Donate $80, we get $160. We encourage you to do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Joining us in the studio is Andy Economo, senior counsel, former U.S. attorney, Harry Hutchison, our director of policy, and Wes Smith, senior military analyst for the ACLJ. Let me ask you a question, Wes, that because we talked about it briefly before in our planning session. Today, or over the weekend, Iraq said basically we've defeated ISIS. That's a bit of an overstatement in your view. Explain why.
Yeah, it is. And I think the prime minister of Iraq is playing to his political base because they have an election coming up before long. But in reality, ISIS, while they have lost land, they've lost influence, they've lost funding streams, and certainly conventional capabilities, they have not gone away. They are simply morphing into what they started out as.
More and like Al-Qaeda.
They are an insurgency.
Yeah.
They will blend in with the civilian population in Iraq and elsewhere across the world, including the U.S., and they will continue to carry out attacks, as we witnessed this morning.
I also think, though, that our military should be, and our coalition partners have done a great job of reclaiming the territories, and the Iraqi military has done a job as well. They're going back to more of what I call the Al-Qaeda model, which is instead of the Hamas model, which is a marching army. We've talked about that before, Jordan, where we wrote about that in our book, Rise of ISIS. Hamas operates as a military. They control land. Yep. This was more of the ISIS model. ISIS is now morphing back into more like Al-Qaeda, just the nature of our success in the military.
Yeah, their caliphate is shrinking, so their ability to govern and their ability to have these more conventional-style military forces, they've been defeated in cities like Mosul in Iraq. And so that is that part, which we discussed over and over again. We said, I don't know how many times that when you shrink them and you kind of force them out of the battlefield in the conventional way from the cities and towns. Remember, they recruited fighters from all over the world, that you will have people as good as your programs may be, who are then returning from the battlefield, returning from the caliphate
to the countries,
or they were never able to get there.
Right,
because of the clamp down on ISIS, and so we started monitoring the people trying to go into the territories close, that we could see an increase in the number of attacks in the West and in places, the countries of origin. And I think we're starting to see that more and more in these last just few months.
Yeah, and it makes domestically, Jay, it makes it much more of a threat. And the point that you were talking about earlier is so true on this. Even though ISIS has been defeated on the conventional battlefield, we are still at war. And it's important to fight it as a war, not as a crime.
Yeah. No, and then we're going to get into the legal part of that in just a moment. Let me go ahead and let's go back. Let's take line two, Jordan, and take your call. Sure. By the way, our phone lines are open at 800-684-3110.
Yep. Dennis in Missouri on line two. Dennis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Quick point.
Yep.
You're talking about enemy combatants. To be a legal enemy combatant, according to the Geneva Convention, you have to wear a uniform or otherwise be readily identified as a soldier, combatant, however you want to term it. This guy was illegal. They could have, according to the Geneva Convention, the laws of war, shot him dead right there.
Well, I mean, he was trying to commit suicide, I mean, and take people with him. But let me read you the definition of a, first of all, an enemy combatant is someone, an individual, and they have to be an unlawful enemy belligerent, which means only an alien, and they have engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, has purposely materially supported hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, which our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson. Harry, this individual clearly fits within this definition.
Absolutely. So I think you have read the relevant statutory language, but it's equally clear that the United States Supreme Court supports your particular perspective on this individual. He is clearly an enemy combatant. He can be denied a speedy trial. He can be denied certain other rights that are typically given to criminals. And he can be detained indefinitely so long as hostilities remain. And it's clear that we are in a long war
yep.
with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, you name it. All of these particular entities have essentially declared war on the United States, and he ought to be detained, and we ought to extract as much information as possible.
And that's the fundamental issue here, Andy, and that is the difference between the criminal justice system, which is to bring them to justice, convict them, you know, sentence them,
right.
versus information gathering. That's the fundamental yeah. difference of having someone declared an enemy combatant and brought in that system versus the criminal justice system.
In response to this, to the last caller who said that they can be shot dead on the scene because they are obviously not wearing a uniform, and I would say that probably is the case, but that's not what we want to do, because we want to extract from this person all the information that we possibly can about the who, what, where, how, and when they got to the Port Authority bus terminal to attempt this act of terror against the United States. So we want them alive in that respect.
And the reason for that is we want to prevent future attacks, and the only way we can really do that readily is to interrogate them.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take more calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a caller on line one.
Yep. Sandy. Sandy in Washington State on line one. Sandy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sandy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, if this man is found to be an enemy combatant,
yep.
and
yep.
if the police officer read him the Miranda rights,
yep.
can the so-called Miranda rights be revoked from the situation? And if so, how? And if not, why not?
Okay, so they can, because once you Mirandize, all Miranda does is say this evidence is then inadmissible in a court of law if you got the evidence without Miranda. If you just make the determination after the fact, say, this afternoon, that this is an enemy combatant, okay? At that point, Miranda's out the window. The speedy trial, as Harry said, is out the window. The law on that, Harry, is very, very clear. I mean, there's not even a question.
Absolutely. And you have a significant Supreme Court plurality, if not a majority, on that particular question.
Yeah, and Andy, again, also, it's not once Mirandized, always Mirandized.
No, I mean, if he wasn't entitled to have it at the beginning, then he's not entitled to have it, period. And if he did that, and he clammed up and didn't say anything, that doesn't mean we can't interrogate him as a belligerent later. The fact of the matter is, that can occur.
All right, so Wes, what do you make of ISIS posting on their social media platforms? Mm-hmm. We meet at Christmas in New York soon. This was up on a number of sites in the last 2 weeks. What's your take on that from a military standpoint?
Well, I think a number of factors as far as the threat landscape is concerned are converging. It is a major holiday season in the United States. As we discussed earlier, yep. they are morphing into a truly terrorist insurgency operation. And I think that should come to us as a fair warning. On the other hand, we don't need to be distracted and think that New York City would be the only target. Certainly that is something they're putting out there, but I think we have to be vigilant across the nation.
All right. Yeah, I think this is a good call from Walter, because we've been talking about this, the state issue, the city issue versus the federal issue in Kentucky. Online 4. Walter, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Walter, you're on the air.
Thanks. And I agree with you and Andy and Jordan and the panel that this is terror by this person's own words. So will the liberal view of crime versus terror in New York City's legal system, will it have jurisdiction over this, or will the DOJ be able to come in and take over interrogation and make the decision to declare him either an enemy combatant or just a crime?
Well, under the supremacy, I mean, there's no question that the federal government, the Department of Justice, would have the right here. The political aspect of this, Jordan, though, is people need to understand the previous administration took a very different view of all of this.
Yes, they never wanted to use the term terrorism. And so if as much as possible, they tried to stay away from that terminology. Now, in this incident, they immediately came out. They used that this was a attempted act of terror. Now, and there's all these different legal standards that kick in and rules that kick in. So I think that's why you have some officials in New York saying it was an attempted act. If you actually say it was a act of terrorism, then other laws kick in. So there is that balance. But when you have someone that's trying to use a weapon of mass destruction or explosive device, that kicks in federal laws immediately. So like you said, I mean, if the federal government wants to take this over, they absolutely can. I expect that the FBI already has.
Yeah, Andy, any question on that in your view?
No, I think that that certainly the FBI's intervention and the application of federal law would supersede anything that New York could do. That doesn't mean that New York cannot get him for assault and battery or aggravated assault or attempted murder or whatever it is that the state crimes. But I think in this case, it's going to be more federal than state intervention in terms of the resolution of what happened here.
And Wes, do you think that with ISIS having to force morphing that they're doing and they're having to, that they start, this is their MO? I mean, they've been doing this anyways, but they also have had the caliphate. The caliphate is drying up on them without any question. Our military's been very successful there.
Right. Yeah, I think the threat changes now. And I think it requires more vigilance in our homeland and in the homelands of other Western nations, because they are not on the battlefield in Syria and Iraq anymore, but they have dispersed and they are still on the internet. They still have what they call the virtual caliphate.
Yep.
And they are trying to plan and inspire attacks in the West.
All right, we're taking more of your calls in our last segment of the broadcast. We come back, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me also encourage you, we are in December 11th, and we are at our 11 days into our December matching challenge. Look, folks, for the ACLJ, December's the biggest month of the year. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Let me encourage you to do that again at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
We've got an unrelated matter for a moment. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're going to get in this tomorrow, but the Orange County District Attorney in California has obtained a $7.8 million settlement in admission of liability in a lawsuit against two companies who unlawfully sold fetal body parts. And this is while we've got a case pending at the Supreme Court of the United States on this very issue. So we're going to break this down for you on tomorrow's broadcast. That's just coming in right now. Anyways, let's go right back to the phones. We're in the last segment, so we take your calls, 800-684-3110.
Yep, Corey calling in from California, on line 6. Corey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Corey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. I think as a nation, we need to realize that it's not the same world that we grew up in. It's not even the same world as it was 10 years ago.
Yep.
And when someone like this is caught in the act of an attempt to murder, viciously murder innocent men, yep, women, and children, that he forfeits any rights that he may have had. He has no rights. And not only is the government should be allowed to extract information from this man, but they should be required to do so.
But the difference, of course, I appreciate you calling and I appreciate your comments, is if they're a U.S. citizen, it's handled, Andy, completely differently because the U.S. citizen has those constitutional rights.
Well, it is. And I agree with the caller, and I know where he's coming from and why he's saying what he is. But a person who's accused of a federal crime or a state crime who is a citizen of the United States has certain constitutional rights under our federal and state constitutions, such as the right to remain silent, the right to a speedy trial, to have an attorney, to confront the accusers against him, to have a jury trial, to have the right of an appeal, and so forth. Those are not rights that should extend to enemy belligerents. And this person in New York is, in my view, an enemy combatant, unlawful, and he is not entitled to any of that.
So, Harry, what is the analysis? I've kind of laid it out. What is the analysis that the Department of Justice makes on a case like this?
Well, one of the things that they should do is that they should focus on preventing additional attacks. So they need to interview this person vigorously, let me add, and to find out whether or not there are co-conspirators. Because what you want to do is you want to prevent future attacks. In addition to what the Justice Department is now doing, as a nation, we need to engage in extreme vetting with respect, yep, to the people that we admit into the United States. So we
There's
really
no question.
Need to expand the president's travel pause to additional countries. Clearly, we find that more and more individuals are radicalized through social media.
Yep.
So we need to also go after radicalized mosque in the United States. Just last week, after the president recognized Jerusalem as Israel's nation's capital, a news report suggests that an imam in Texas has called for attacks on both Israel and its allies. The United States is an ally of Israel.
Right.
So in effect, he is calling for attacks on the United States.
Yep.
So we need to aggressively go after those individuals as well.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next, Jordan?
Yeah, let's go to Kathy in Virginia on line 3. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Kathy, go ahead.
Hi. My question is, who's taking this over? Is it federal or state?
It's got to, I think it becomes a federal. So you may have state crimes, but the state has to take a secondary role to the federal government here. This is a terror attack. It's a whole different, there's a whole set of federal laws, and there's a process in which the federal government, the Department of Justice, takes over the investigation. And that's what's happening here.
Yeah, that's
right.
Appreciate
the call.
That's right. Let's back to the phones we go. Let's go to Catherine in Montana on line 1. Catherine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Catherine, go ahead.
Hello, I have a question.
Okay.
Sadly, not too long ago, there was one that ran over the bike trail.
Yep.
And there was many people that got killed there. where is he, and are the taxpayers paying for him? Where did he end up? We hear nothing about it. And was he legal or not legal?
So he entered a plea. He was charged, a not guilty plea of charges of murder and terrorism in a federal court. So for that reason, they went after, they kept him within the criminal justice system. Because if he entered a plea, that means that's the way it's going. Doesn't mean that can't change, but that's the way it sits right now. But, you know, Wes, you pointed out the fact earlier that we've got to be very vigilant right now, mm-hmm. because as ISIS is really suffering defeat right. in Syria and Iraq, this is, they're going to become more aggressive in their cell group
right
moves.
The domestic threat has gone up exponentially. I read some material, interestingly enough, Jed, that's rather sobering this morning from one of the ISIS websites, in which they reference the U.S. Constitution, they reference the Miranda rights that a person has, and they tell their potential recruits, and the U.S. Yep. will provide you with an attorney, and that's in their propaganda.
Yeah, I would not be shocked. Now, Jordan, the political question of this, or the process question is, the federal government, in a situation like this, that is going to be the Department of Justice's call on how this proceeds.
Exactly. And so, and ultimately, I think it comes down to is how much trickle-down effect there has been from the attorney general to the deputies and to the U.S. attorneys. And then ultimately, the calls, listen, can be directed from the very top.
Yeah.
They can make the decisions. Someone like Attorney General Sessions can instruct those U.S. attorneys in the way to proceed.
I want to follow that up, Andy, because you were a U.S. attorney. The decision on how to move this forward really will come from the Department of Justice.
That's where it's
to the U.S.
to.
Attorney's
yes.
offices.
I mean, as Jordan has said, the chain of command is the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, and then to the United States, the 99 or so, however many United States attorneys there are in each federal judicial district in the U.S.
Yeah, so that a decision like this will come from the top. I mean, it would come from the Department of Justice. The president could decide how it moves forward as well and instruct the Attorney General as to that matter. All right, let's grab another call.
Yep, Lori in Indianapolis, Indiana, on line four, final call for today. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lori, go ahead.
I have a question in regards to our FBI. How can we trust our FBI to handle this situation correctly when we can't even get them to handle our elected officials appropriately?
So, I mean, you raise a different question. Look, I think by and large, FBI agents, especially the field agents, do a fantastic job in protecting the United States and protecting our citizenry. The concerns that we've raised on these issues in the past focus on leadership as it relates to another matter. But I promise you, the Joint Terrorism Task Force is already, I know that for a fact, it's been all over the news. They've said it, is involved in this. They have been involved in it, and they will continue to be involved in it. And I don't want to paint, although we've got serious concerns on other issues regarding the FBI and the investigations and who's doing what, this is, by and large, the agents in the field do a very, very good job and are very professional in their approach to these things. But again, this is a terror attack, so it's got to be handled very, very differently. That does it for the broadcast today. But again, Jordan's going to talk to you about this. Folks, we are in the last, really, 3 weeks of our matching challenge campaign for the year. And this sets the tone, as Jordan said, for the next year for the ACLJ. So your financial support makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's right. You can support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice online at ACLJ.org. You'll see the matching challenge button there. So the impact of your donation right now is doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. And what does that mean? Well, that means that as we go into the end of the year and are planning for the new year, we will know the resources that we have available immediately for our teams here in the United States and around the world. So you go to ACLJ.org. You make that donation online. It's a very quick way to do it. And again, right now, if you do it today at ACLJ.org, your donation, so a $20 donation is like a $40 donation, or a $50 donation is like a $100 donation. We have a matching challenge right now. Go to ACLJ.org and donate today.
All right, folks. Again, thanks for watching. And again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLU